freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. A bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Love is all you need. My name is S.M. Gibson. This is Anti-Media Radio. You're listening on UCY.TV. I'm going to go ahead and bring on our wonderful co-host for the evening, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, what is up?
What is going on, Mr. Gibson?
Oh, man. There's a lot going on in the news. I still got the situation going on in Baton Rouge. We're going to have some people on later.
Very nice. Mr. Aaron Nelson.
Yeah, from the Pontiac Tribune fame.
Have you bought some pig socks yet? Some pig cop socks?
No.
Yeah. I mean, doubling down. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. That is absolutely freaking ridiculous. But yeah, we've got a few things we want to discuss tonight. One is the North Dakota pipeline and what's going on up there. With the tribal members from the Rosebud Sioux tribe. They're literally just placing their bodies in front of the construction equipment down there. It's crazy. There have been already a bunch of arrests and a bunch of attempts to try to get them to remove themselves from the pipeline being, I think, illegally. I mean, can you use that term here? Illegally? I don't know.
Is a human being illegal just for existing?
Yeah. Well, and again, that kind of underscores about...
Now, you can definitely get into some, you know, other arguments there. I understand that. But to actually just, you know, think about it. But, you know, whatever.
Well, on a political note, presidential candidate Jill Stein made an appearance there, as she's done with many protests. As far as someone who's been very, very sympathetic towards the activist community and activist goals and, you know, pretty much, you know, what United States activism consists of these days. She's really been there on the front lines. A girl needs to learn how to use a spray paint can, though. The video of her spray painting the construction equipment up there in her photo op appearance leaves a lot to be desired. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I know you're trying to, you know, help us activist folks out, but you're going to have to learn how to use a spray paint can. Any activist will tell you that.
So what do you think about the more impending doom of Russia and Iran? They're hyping that up pretty hard right now.
Oh, man. Both of us... as we were kind of doing a little bit of our show research. Where is that link at? Very interesting article online. I'm looking for it. Hang on one second. Look up HTTP Cohen/ CarnegieEndowment.org. And there is a article that they put up April 5th of 2016 about the Russian-U.S. relationship in the Middle East, a five-year projection, which pretty much is the narrative as far as what our intentions are and what the whatever politician that gets put in the White House, whether it be Hillary Trump, which I've got money riding on, your pony, the loudest of the bunch.
I have never said he'll 100% be president. Old
Taco Tuesday Trump.
Yeah.
No Taco Tuesday at his house.
She's got problems.
He's got problems, too.
Well, that's not incorrect.
I don't want neither one of their problems to be my problem, you know what I'm saying?
Wow,
but then again, it underscores what a ridiculous puppet show this is, because ultimately what is contained in the article that I just referenced is pretty much the narrative for what we're going to expect for the next 5 years. And, it ain't looking good for Iran and Turkey. I'm just going to put it that way. Whew. Just going to go ahead and throw it out there on the table.
Yeah,
Iran and Turkey.
These, I tell you what, real quick, these coffin fits, I think, it's kind of funny, because she's kind of like the cough America can't get rid of, no matter what.
You're bound and determined to bring up this whole cough drop thing. You're going to Alex Jones it up.
No, I don't care. Could care less. Whatever, it's funny. It's another part of the storyline.
Dick Cheney's been walking the face of this earth for this long without a heartbeat. There's no reason that the establishment won't try to somehow... I mean, look, Bill Clinton should have died like 4 or 5 years ago. You seen that guy, what's left of him?
Yeah.
Tell me that's not a medical experiment gone awry.
There's something going on there.
See him play with them big balloons? I mean, that was wild, man.
Yeah, those people got issues. Back to what you were talking about with Russia, though. They've got these ships zooming past again today with Iran, and they've said whatever the ransom was up to. People are just flipping out over it. And, like, I think it's obviously to stir up emotion to go to war. For what reason? Why?
Well,
why do you want to stir up all this anger?
Why has there always been war?
I understand. But it's frustrating that people don't see what's going on in front of them.
I mean, you know, you've seen a UFC fight. There's no sense in all that aggression if there's not going to be a prize at the end of it, right?
I don't know.
it's just some folks fighting for a championship belt. That's all. That's all it is, man. Big old wrestling ring. And we're just mere spectators. Now, we may get a chair thrown our way every now and then, but hey, man. That's what we paid admission for, right? Isn't that why we were born into this country? To serve?
Yeah.
To serve our masters.
Look what's going on in Syria right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is where the showdown's happening.
For now. I mean, you know, the battlefield's just going to change places throughout that whole region, and I think that's what we've seen in every presidential candidate that we saw, with the exception of Rand Paul, advocated going to war, open war with Iran, including up to and including the last two standing right now. Both of them are very favorable towards. I think Trump was probably a little softer in his stance, but ultimately, the objective is to make Iran bend to our will. That's about the size of it, and we have Russia, who has become increasingly uneasy about their relations with the United States. And you also have China looming in the background. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget them. with an army big enough, I mean, I think their army is pretty much like equivalent to almost half the population in the United States.
It's not small.
No, it's not. So there's that. That's not anything we need to be playing with, man.
Hillary's openly talking about it. Like, yeah, this is something that definitely has to happen.
We're increasingly concerned. Yeah. increasingly concerned means that somebody's paying her something somewhere. Clinton Foundation's fixing to get a massive check from somewhere. And
but
next
we've
thing
got
you know,
Russia
policy.
Surrounded from all angles.
Yeah. You ever play Risk?
I know.
Yeah, that's how you win, man. Or at least that's what gives you a fighting chance. Got to roll your dice. Sometimes you get a bad roll.
And people are worried about if a football player is sitting down or standing up. I mean, it's
Let's talk about right now why he's sitting down, because this is one of the reasons.
Right. Oh, obviously.
And that has trickled down all the way from the very top all the way down.
I didn't say the way the reason
local
for
communities
it.
As far as the show of force that is being displayed right now by the powers that be.
But why is that what people get mad at? And they don't see what's happening right in front of them.
It's the same reason that people get so pissed off about, well, I'm working so hard and all these people on welfare sitting out there. And we brought this up before. The number of your withholdings out of your federal withholdings out of your check. So like somewhere around 10% goes towards those services, you know, food stamps and welfare and stuff like that. 40%, roughly around 40% of your withholdings from your paycheck goes towards corporate subsidies.
And yet they've got all the poor people at each other's throat.
Yep. It's funny how that works. And of course there's all that other money that disappears into the black budget that nobody knows about.
Yeah. And then they've had $8 trillion go missing.
I don't know where it went.
I'll say this, Rand Paul's trying
to crunch the numbers like four times.
I know. Rand Paul was trying to get that audit the Pentagon thing.
That plane hit the accounting office and we just hadn't been the same since.
Yeah. Whoops, what happened, guys?
They still hadn't got that thing built.
It's so sad. And they say they're too big to be audited. Don't worry about it. We got this.
Yeah.
Too big. That's laughable.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the Federal Reserve, though.
Yeah.
Same with any huge branch of anything. Right. And it's our money.
If something gets too big and we no longer have control over it, then maybe it's time that we establish control over it.
Well,
but then again, that completely negates what the actual true narrative that we're not being told is.
But is it?
You know?
Right.
I mean, there's so much of it that they're, and I've remarked on this on the show quite a few times about how emboldened and brazen the powers that be have become. Cameras pointed straight in their face and middle fingers way high up in the air. We're fixing to pull a fast one on you, buddy. Check
I'll give
out.
Hillary that. She'll do it right in broad daylight.
Oh, yeah, with a smile and hot sauce in her purse.
Yeah, she'll do it right in broad daylight.
Is it working? Anywho.
That's amazing to me how anybody's even still buying it. Like, I just don't think she has real supporters. But
there's a few out there, and I've remarked on that. But yeah, they're not near the sheer number. At least they're not as vocal as any other fan of any other candidate has been.
And look what's going on in North Dakota.
Vermin Supreme supporters are more vocal than hers.
Yeah,
that's my boy right there.
But you've got
Pony Power.
Guys, have you seen the guys with, like, the craft hats, the mercenaries with the dog and stuff up there?
Yeah,
they're trying to make them out like they're the victims, which is unbelievable to me.
Our fallen heroes. They're seem to be fallen heroes.
It's like, wait.
They could follow.
What are they doing there?
Yeah.
Why are they there to begin with?
Freedom. Don't you ask anymore. Here's an ice cream cone. Now go away.
It's like, it ain't all this serious, guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, y'all don't need this land that bad. But they sure make it seem like they do. They come push people around. And there's people out there dedicated enough to stand on the line and fight for it.
And all you have to do is give them a cross look and they have reasons to, at the very minimum, slap you upside the head. And at very worst, let you leave the scene in a body bag. So,
well,
with some
hopefully
amazing story
go crazy
about courage
for everyone's safety.
Yeah,
It don't need to come to all that.
No, it doesn't. But yet it does. Yet it does. Yet it does.
So it won't accomplish anything. It really won't. You can think that, but it won't.
Yeah.
I know people have differing opinions with me on that, but I just think it accomplishes squat.
Well, so,
anyway.
Joining hands in the street and marching down the street and yelling, "We shall overcome," hadn't worked up till now.
I understand that.
Just going to throw that on the table.
I understand that. Yeah. But I'll say this, those people up there are brave.
You don't have to compromise if you're the one holding the gun.
Well, both sides have guns, it's stupid. And they've got the way bigger gun. Don't mm-hmm. forget it.
Mm-hmm. For what purpose?
Love you. Love yours.
The days of Andy and Barney are long gone.
I never said they were.
Otis would have been killed like in episode 3, man.
I never said that. I know what it's like.
Stumble in and Barney wake up out of bed, asleep at his desk, and shoot Otis in a pool of blood, and they mop it up, and they come up with some crazy story about Otis coming in with a broken bottle, wanted to attack him. They cover it up and go home, and Aunt Bee makes supper. Yeah, we need to do a modern-day Andy Griffith show, like Andy Griffith 2016. That would be awesome.
That'd be pretty fantastic.
What's the guy that was in The Shield? He's been in so many others. The guy Justified. Oh, man, what's his name? Walton Goggins. Yeah, was in The Hateful Eight. Tarantino flick.
What about one-third of all Americans killed by strangers are killed by police? The story we've got up right now on the front page of the antimedia.org. What do you think about that, Shane?
I mean, both middle fingers up in the air. Everybody knows it, but, you know, gosh.
I'm sitting here reading.
Mayberry 2016, man. I'm telling you, dude, that I'm on a moneymaker right here.
Let's do it.
Who do we get to play Andy?
That's a good question. I'll tell you what, speaking to people that are brave and people that are doing the right thing, coming together, you know, there's a lot of that that doesn't get reported in the media. We've still got the situation going on in Baton Rouge, which here in a few minutes, we're going to get to a couple of our guests for the night. But they have gone through such a tough time, Shane. But people have come together, and, you know, the media ignores that because they'd rather, you know, you get higher ratings with all the drama. It's WWE, isn't it?
Yeah, all day, every day.
It's all about the Benjamin, so... Mm-hmm. What do? You know, when everybody's willing to sell themselves to keep it going.
Well, and I really like the story coming out of Baton Rouge right now. They have. Excuse me. The region's activists have really stepped in. And it's, I don't know, it's just an amazing story that is being vastly underplayed on national media. I it doesn't have all of the drama and tension that post Katrina did. Apparently, I don't know what it is, and it's horrible. It's a bad situation. It really is. We're trying to get Aaron Nelson, who is live on the scene in Baton Rouge, on, and we're having some massive technological difficulties because we're dumbasses. I mean, excuse me, one of us is a dumbass.
Okay, I think we've got Aaron on.
Good. Aaron, are you with us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Excellent, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm having, as depressing as it is, I'm having the time of my life helping people down here.
Okay, so for those who don't know, Aaron, tell your story a little bit about your trip going down there real quick and what you're doing.
Man, it's a long story, but I guess it had to be like August 15th or 16th, something like that. I had no idea anything was happening in Baton Rouge. I didn't know it was a flood at all. I didn't hear anything about it in the media. Just saw some of my friends sharing their status updates with their friends and family in Baton Rouge. When I caught wind of it, I had a pre-arranged plan to go out to New York to meet with some other people about actually the music festival they were trying to put on. But as soon as I found out, I was like, shit, I gotta get down to Baton Rouge to try to bring some awareness to it, because nobody knew what was going on. So I just spent my money on Greyhound and came down here. It's this crazy adventure to get down here. But once I got here, I've just been absolutely blown away by, I think number one, it's the lack of organization and coordination. I mean, it's developed since then, but man, oh man, everybody is kind of just left on their own to figure out how to provide flood relief supplies, how to gut your homes, and it's been pretty much utter chaos. It's like 100,000 people affected, at least 50,000 that need supplies, probably at least 50,000 homes that just have everything that they used to own out in the street. It's been molding, being rained on every day. There's still areas underwater. I didn't even know that till a couple days ago. We came back from gutting a couple homes. And so, yeah, there's alligators in the backyard. And this guy, and he's still living there. And the water's not receding. So there's that, and there's some of the warehouses that have been hosting all the supplies are actually shutting down. So that's a lot of our operations lately here where I'm at now. I've been just moving the supplies to the warehouses that are staying open. And my job, I guess it's my job right now, is to surf through the internet, Facebook, social media, Facebook groups and pages, find everyone locally who needs help or who is offering help, and then connect the dots. That's basically the slogan of this crew, is people helping people, connecting the dots.
That's awesome. You know, and people forget about stuff like this once the media tires of it. You know, when CNN is not talking about it anymore, you know, they move on and everybody's like, well, that problem got solved.
Oh, yeah. And I've talked to a lot of people here. Everybody's, well, it's amazing. It's incredible that, I mean, civilians save hundreds of lives by rescuing people by boat from calls for help on social media. If they didn't do that, if the civilians didn't do that, there would have been hundreds dead. And because there weren't hundreds dead, it got even less media coverage, and all the audience that did hear about it the first time, like, oh, 14 dead, oh, no big deal. They just kind of archived
it. You bring up a really good point there, yeah, you really do.
And it needs attention because the people down there are still in need. They still need supplies. And, you know, that's what you're down there trying to do. And I think from what I've seen, y'all been able to bring in a lot. I've seen the stories about the Red Cross and some of the stuff they've been giving out and the lines and just what a nightmare it's been. And, you know,
it has been. I mean, pretty much everybody I've talked to down here had a story or a personal story themselves of just being extremely disappointed with Red Cross. Their efforts have, from what I've gathered, I don't want to talk bad about them because they do come around offering help.
See, I'm the same way.
Resource. But, damn.
But, yeah, I think you're right. You know, it's because of the community and people pulling together. And, you know, this is what we need right now. Go ahead and tell people a couple of the places online people can go to get more information on this.
There's a Facebook page that I started the day I left, and I'm transferring ownership over to a bunch of local residents that have been dealing with this in the beginning. Basically the version of me here, because they could use it, Louisiana Flood Relief is the page, facebook.com/floodrelief2015. And there's a Facebook group where most of the, we call it intel, basically. I mean, we're just sorting through intel, where people are posting every minute, every 20 minutes, just more and more messages coming in for help, or offers for help, volunteers providing transportation. And that's where I'm connecting most of the dots. It's called Louisiana Flood Rescue-August 2016. Once you join that group, you get a really good sense of how much of a crisis this really is, because it is up to people to help people. Nobody else is doing it. It's literally, I mean, there's four of us where I'm at right now. And I'm the main tech right now because our other two techs are out of town, coming back later. But it's quite a challenge. I've never worked this hard ever at anything, like 20 hours a day. But we're definitely having a major impact. tens of thousands of people that are on our list for supply routes.
What has been the most just shocking, unbelievable thing you've seen since you've been down there?
There's a lot to choose from. I mean, the most shocking on a positive side is I've been blown away that like 70% of the volunteers doing the dirty work and the coordination of supplies and distribution, they're all mothers. They all have families. And everyone down here is working every day, all week long, and they have huge families that they're still finding time to volunteer and to lead these efforts. And that just blows my mind. I find that shocking. I didn't realize. It's like kind of restored my faith in humanity. And it's been very, very inspiring down here.
What about some of the destruction you've seen? So people can kind of get a sense of really what happened.
The destruction, I mean, there's 50 to 100,000 homes that are just destroyed. And most of the people didn't have flood insurance. All of their belongings, everything is gone. And the lucky ones had volunteers, the friends, the family come out and gut their homes, you know, tear down all the drywall, bust. I mean, basically, the homes are left, it's a stud. You know, there's nothing that can be saved because when they're rebuilding, they have to do it by code. So when the inspector comes, I think, I don't know the whole protocol with it, but something with FEMA, and there's all these regulations, like you have to make sure you do it the right way and kill all the mold, take out all the stuff that's rotting around. Your home is worth nothing, you know. Can't live there. A lot of homes are being demolished. We have a whole Google form system right now for requests for home demolition.
And this is something that happened to people overnight. Like, you know, this.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that story was so consistent. Everyone I talked to, I mean, the night it happened, they all were on Facebook. They saw one person need help to be rescued. So they're like, oh, I'll help. I'll comment. I'll take someone. And then by the end of the night, all of a sudden it was their family members and their friends, they needed help. They needed to be rescued from their homes by blow-up air mattresses or boats. And then by morning, it was them. Like, the flood just didn't stop. And nobody expected anything like this. They're not in a flood zone. A big misconception nationally is that, oh, well, you shouldn't live there because, you know, it floods all the time. Like, you should just move. And a lot of people took a lot of offense to that around here because it was, I mean, this is like anywhere. It's not a region that floods. It's the worst flood that they've ever had here since the early 1900s.
I want to go ahead and bring on one of your colleagues, Aaron, that you're working alongside down there in Baton Rouge. Taylor, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing okay. How are you?
Doing good. Better than I think the situation is down there. Tell everybody what your role is in the relief effort and what you've seen so far.
Yeah, so I'm Taylor Ely. I was first involved in the relief efforts just by, I'm from New Orleans. I just drove up and I figured out who I knew that wasn't getting aid, and I tried to figure out how to do that in just like a very small grassroots way on Facebook. And then I got involved with Louisiana Flood Relief, and since then I've been working with them. Yeah.
So what have you seen that people are in need of the most so far? What can people do immediately to help? How can they reach out?
Okay, so I think the most like immediate and easiest way of helping people is just by like staying aware on what's going on and also sharing information, especially on Facebook, which is become just a remarkable aid resource right now, and an aid resource that doesn't have the kind of like problems that big NGOs have. But as far as like direct donations, we're not taking money right now, but we are taking like clean water, gift cards, baby supplies, blankets, pillows, things like that. You know, anything that you would imagine you would need if you lost your home, and we're taking those to, or we're taking supplies to an address. It's 12336 Airline Highway, Baton Rouge 708-17. So that's the address that we mentioned.
All right, sorry. Scott, I could definitely send you a list of the most recent, like, priority list.
Okay.
Put together. It's a mold killer. There's a bunch of specific mold killers that are really needed right now. And stuff like crowbars and, like, things you never think of, but I'll send that over.
Yeah, and that's another thing. You know, I've got a friend who lives down there, and he was telling me they were gutting houses and the mold and all the situation, stuff you would just never think of that you'd have to go through. And all the different kind of supplies people need that you don't think about.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people now are starting to have to go back to work. What are they doing? Are people still in shelters?
Well, a big issue we're facing right now is that a lot of shelters are closing because, you know, people took time off from their jobs to kind of commit to volunteering, but now people are... people elsewhere are kind of returning to normalcy while it is still, in, you know, direly needed. So,
I'm sure there's not many people from shelters that are closing that can't go back to their homes yet. So I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, other you brought up people having to go back to work. Some of these people, and a lot of these people, are facing, like, they lost their home. They also lost the school that their kids go to, and then they lost their job because all of those things flooded. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does the big overall relief effort seem? Does it seem like it's progressing, or do you think...
I think it's progressing, but it's the civilians that are progressing because we're learning on the fly. We're inventing.
Exactly.
Way with Facebook to lead the flood relief efforts, but apparently we're just changing the face of
disaster relief, I'd say. That's what it feels like, because I was, I helped with, like, long-term disaster relief in Haiti and after the earthquake, and I also saw the way that people dealt with things during Katrina. That's kind of, like, my specialty. That's what I study, and, the way that people have just been organizing online on their own and helping people out is changing the face of development. But mm-hmm. while that's going on, it's also slowing down just because as things stop being a hot topic in the news, people stop focusing on them. And so that's why it's important to keep talking about Louisiana.
I think it is because the news cycle moves so fast now, and, you know, there's always some, especially today in 2016, you know, there's somebody's always talking about something else.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, just because, you know, it's not being discussed every day doesn't mean people stop, you know, going through something. And so I think what y'all are doing is just massively important. I commend both of y'all.
I think what you're doing is massively important. Mutual respect.
Well, we're working on it anyways. We've had some technical difficulties tonight. I'm looking at you, Gibson.
It'll work out. Yeah,
it'll all work out in the end.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, it's great to hear from both of y'all. And please keep up the good work.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, I tell you what. Real quick, before we let y'all go, tell me about the government side of the relief effort. Does it seem like they're more in the way? Are they hindering? Are they helping? Is the community and the bigger organizations working hand in hand?
From my angle, from my perspective, I'm still waiting. I'm wondering where they're at. I haven't crossed paths at all. I saw a Red Cross worker at Staples, and that was it.
Yeah, I'm wondering the same thing. I'm waiting for people that are, like, directly affiliated with the government doing their job to do aid. I've seen a lot of people who are, like, amazing government employees taking time off of work to help. I think in all of these situations, I'd rather focus on who's doing the right thing instead of who's doing the wrong thing, because
mm-hmm. right.
you know, I don't really want to, you know, cast stones. But it's hard for me to handle, you know, all of to be handling donations and things like that, and trying so hard and putting my life into it, and wondering where the large scale organization is and what they're doing with their donations. But I'm very pro small organizations and people helping other people, you know, in a hands on way.
So for everybody out there, please get on Facebook. Aaron, one more time.
The Facebook page is Louisiana Flood Relief, facebook.com/floodrelief2016. And there's a group too. Instead of that repeating that large name, just go to LouisianaFloodRescue.org and there's a link to it there.
So Taylor, tell me real quick, the biggest, what's the most shocking thing you've seen, and you've seen somebody, I guess, pull through in this whole thing?
Wow. Well, when I first started getting involved, I met a woman named Shonda who has cancer, and she just kind of like against all odds, she has everything stacked against her, and she had no idea how to get any help. And I met her just like in her driveway, and I got people to, I posted on Facebook, hey, I need, you know, a few people out here to help me. And within a few hours, a bunch of my friends from New Orleans had driven up, and we were all just gutting this house of this woman that I just met that day. And my relationship with her has grown a lot. And as I was gutting her house, we found so many amazing things. Her dad was a pastor in Baton Rouge, and he was kind of like a civil rights leader, like a small scale Baptist pastor who was working in the civil rights movement when that was going on. And we found like newspaper articles about MLK's death and things like that that just really changed my life. And talking to her and seeing the way that these people who are, by many accounts, like victims of poverty and, you know, and, you know, she has cancer and she's just like this black woman who's having a hard time surviving in this disaster situation, the way she was just like, what can I do for you? How can I help you? I'm also really good friends with Cameron Sterling, Alton Sterling's son, and he reached out to me asking me what he could help with, what houses he could get when his house was also completely ruined by the flooding. Just all these people who need help themselves, trying to help other people, that's been the thing that's kind of changed my life.
That's fascinating. I know me and you've talked, Aaron, and you've said you've experienced the exact same stuff.
It's been very life-changing.
So, I tell you what, thank y'all so much both for what y'all are doing and calling in tonight. And Taylor, one more time, the address where people can send donations.
Yeah, okay, it is 12336 Airline Highway, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70817. And if you need to see that again, you can just go to the Facebook page for Flood Relief Louisiana or the Baton Rouge Flood Relief Facebook group.
Thank you so much, both of y'all, for calling in tonight and for everything. And just a reminder to everybody to please be thinking about everybody in Baton Rouge and what they're going through.
Yeah, the floodwaters may have receded, but it still does not negate the fact that, you know, like Aaron just said a moment ago, you know, upwards toward 100,000 people lost their homes. And those people are in dire need of just the basic necessities right now. You know, small construction equipment. You could afford $10 for a shovel, you know. And if you don't feel good about sending money, which, you know, actually from what I just heard, they're not really looking for monetary donations. They would much rather have something to work with. And I think that right there speaks for itself.
I agree. And, you know, it's stuff like this we can all get. I mean, I'm guilty as anybody on the planet. You know, you forget about, you know, what other people are going through. And, you know, and you got to remember, we're in a situation where people are just trying to get by in their everyday life as well. But we can't forget about, you know, trying to help those, because what if it was us in that situation?
I mean, imagine if we spent the resources that we spend when we throw money at all of these needless and senseless wars and all of this vast trillions and trillions of dollars that the Pentagon just sucks from from our budget. I don't know. You put a fraction of that toward what's going on down there, bam, situation's taken care of. You know, you put a fraction of that money that we are wasting and just, I mean, squandering for what? To make a bunch of politicians' friends richer, and a few politicians along the way, Bill Clinton.
Yeah, it's really a sad situation. You know, we have both sides now of the aisle screaming that we've got to spend more on the military. We've got to spend more on the military. And for decades, we've spent, you know, as much as the top eight, ten countries combined under us. And yet we still keep getting fed this, the military is too small. And then you've got the problem of where the money's being spent.
And how it's being spent. I mean, you know, and we'd all love to know how it's being spent, but all of these trillions and trillions of dollars are suddenly gone unaccounted for. Now they're just missing. And there's a, you know, a few harsh words, quote unquote, harsh words spoken in a room with a TV camera somewhere. And we need to know where this money is, and this is a waste of taxpayer money. Oh, well, we'll get right on that, boss. And it never happens. People start asking too many questions, and then boom.
Did you hear about the activist in Ferguson that they found killed?
Yeah, we had discussed that pre-show for just a little bit, and I didn't get a chance to do a lot of research on it. It kind of sounded like one of those rabbit holes that was...
It did.
Yeah.
And I hate to say...
Gross, disgusting place to go on the internet.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was good. They found him in a car that was set on fire and had been shot. I'm trying to find his name. I feel like such an idiot here. If you go through a million stories a day.
You do go through quite a few stories in a day, in a daily news cycle, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I know it.
I don't know how you haven't pulled out every single hair on your head.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot that goes on. I'll say that. Did you hear about the Fox lady, Gretchen Carlson quitting?
Who cares?
But no, what was the other one? She got $20 million.
$20 million.
Uh huh.
From Fox.
Uh huh.
Well, that's a heck of a compensation package, I guess you could say. What, she got naked pictures of somebody somewhere?
Yes.
Or does somebody have some naked pictures of her?
Yeah. I think that's more.
There's something going on there.
Dan Seals. Okay.
Is that who signed the check?
No, that's the... I wanted to make sure to mention his name, the activist.
Oh yeah, definitely don't want to confuse the two. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure.
And so he was found... Give me some details on this, because
he was one of the founding members of the Black Lives Matter, but he had a split with them at some point.
A lot of folks have.
And he was written about in, I think it was the New York Times or something, about how he said he was not going to ever vote Democrat again, and he'll vote for some rich white Republican. So, and I think,
wonder which rich white Republican he was referring to.
Wow. So I don't know how he felt like, you know, in his daily life about that. But that's a story that I read that he supposedly...
So that could have been a message from several different places.
I don't know, and, you know, who knows?
That's a strange, scary place.
I'm not
going to
pretend to know
details. That's like being one of those unaffiliated prisoners in prison. You haven't picked a gang, so, you know, eventually one of the gangs jumped your ass because you weren't part of their gang, or you spoke harshly about their gang, or whatever the case may be.
That's all anything is, isn't it?
Ugh. That didn't sound like my kind of party. I think Aaron's got the right idea. Get out there and help somebody. You want to make a real difference. I mean, you want to make a real difference in this world. Just help somebody.
So I came across another story here on the front page of the antimedia.org, and this is going to go somewhere, Shannon, so be patient.
I like that setup, yeah.
Donald Trump comes out against the Fourth Amendment. Basically what he's talking about is the stop and frisk stuff in New York. He's like, that's great, and here's my thing.
What Fourth Amendment? Right. What are you talking about? They erased that. They erased that,
Understandably so. But why are there people out there that's like, yeah, I'm okay with that? Like, has anything to do with if you're doing anything right or wrong or anything. Like, you say you want to live in a free country, and you're like, yeah, stop and frisk. Then you just have some guy come up to me and start groping me.
All lives matter. All lives matter.
Who's going along with that?
That's them people, man. I ain't got nothing to do with them people.
Who's going along with that?
They're not invited to my barbecues.
It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
And people get so emotional about it.
Oh, man. There's so many feels right now. It's not even funny. And it's not just a, you know, we talk about a lot of it on the internet because, you know, again, we are a internet website-based podcast. Yeah. And who's
unlike those other websites that aren't internet websites.
Yeah. Not those other guys. We're a real website.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, you know, it's... I don't know, it's just really, really strange how it's all kind of broken down now. I don't know, and you know, I can't help but think of the whole, they're the same party that really wishes that Colin get up and stand up like everybody else.
Listen,
everybody else has got to stand up, and I don't know why you don't have to stand up too. All lives matter, all lives matter!
And then think about all the craziness with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I mean, that's coming from all angles.
And that's pretty much, if you let that kind of attitude go unchecked, that's what it turns into. And then next thing you know, we're beheading people in the street, hollering, praise Jesus, I guess. I don't know.
No, I don't think they'll be praised. I don't think they'll be saying
Jesus
that.
Jesus wants nothing to do with that. I can tell you that right now.
I don't think they'll be saying that. Who knows? It's the stuff people defend. Like, just because I guess they get it in their head, it's race, I guess. I guess that's what puts the hate in people's heart.
Well, I mean, race is that's so easy. I mean, you know, that person looks different than me. There's no way I can trust that.
It's just another person in a different circumstance. Now, put yourself in that circumstance.
And a different perspective, you know. But
right,
at the same
time,
if you have dialogue with different people in your life, and actually, it's really nice outside today. I'm talking about an actual, real, serious conversation with different people, people of all walks of life. And I'm not just talking about different races, but older people, younger people. Man, some of the best conversations I've ever had were with kids. And, I don't know, man. I certainly don't want to live in an echo chamber with just me, myself, and I.
No,
and a bunch of people look like me, and a bunch of people that go hang out the same places and do the same things and have the same experiences, because I don't grow. There's no way that I can evolve as a human being.
But it's loud out there. I mean, like, you think about Chicago, they just hit 500 people killed this year.
Wow.
I mean, it's on all sides. And it's human nature. It has nothing to do with people love to point the finger immediately when somebody says, well, there's 1,000 people killed by cops right now. It's 700 of them, I think.
So we're on pretty much the same pace that we were last year is what it looks like.
But anyway.
And again, we have to stress that not all of those, you know, people that have been killed by cops were the people that were unarmed or people that, you know, had a small minor offense that a police officer winds up choking them out for, something like that.
I don't think you can just like, those are people too.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just say, oh, well, everybody in that uniform is a horrible person. I don't believe that.
But you can't deny
It's the justice system.
And not only just the ones that are murdered, but just the constant stream of footage that we're subjected to from police departments all across this nation.
And I think that's putting...
From Alaska all the way down to Florida.
It's putting cops in danger. It's putting more citizens in danger because the cops are getting freaked out and they're young and they're not trained very well and they're reacting. And
you bring up
some innocent person gets killed, and because the justice system is the way it is, the cop gets off, and the cycle continues.
Well, you bring up a really good point in that too, because you know, and we've talked about it on the show quite a bit. We are not anti-police by any stretch of the imagination.
Look, man, we're all people.
Police are people too. They're doing a job, and it's a tough, dirty job. I'm not going to say it.
But look, I'm not going to sit here and defend what's been happening either, because it's not good.
And the bad police officers have made it worse for good officers that are out there just trying to do their job, that are trying to follow the letter of the law and try to be the example that they signed up to be a police officer. You know, you do have some of those people. You do have Barney and Andy out there somewhere.
But it's like,
and they're keeping quiet on the whole thing.
But it's government from top to bottom. There's no accountability in government whatsoever.
None.
Because...
And before accountability reaches the wrong ears, we got to shut that down. Come here and let's have a private meeting about this.
And that's why there's people in the streets marching. And because there's no accountability.
Yeah. And how can you have people that are not held to any kind of standard whatsoever?
But look.
An imaginary standard just for show.
Look at Hillary Clinton.
I mean, because that's really what it is at the end of the day. That's why all of these rogue cops keep getting off, while the lawsuits keep getting dropped or found in the police's favor, while no charges are ever filed. You know, this is the crap that I'm talking about. The good cops and good officers out there are not being vocal enough about these rogue cops, and they're letting it happen.
Well,
he just got a little wild, that's all. Boys will be boys.
And you hear, but then you hear the stories about the cop that does come out and do the right thing, and they get punished.
Yeah, and sometimes punished to the point where they, you know, have to move. Their life is threatened. You know, they face all sorts of scrutiny all the way up to the very top. And a lot of them wind up losing their jobs or are forced to take an early retirement.
Look at Edward Snowden.
Or that guy.
Yeah.
that's a pretty extreme example, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's a super extreme example, but somehow he broke the law. I'm still trying to figure that out. I know what they say.
He broke the law by telling the truth.
He wasn't telling the truth
to get anybody else in trouble or create international conflict that wasn't already there. You know, all he did was grab somebody's diary and just have them. You know, here, check out what this page of the diary says about you right there. Oh, crap.
And I guess that all ties back into this idiotic election. Who cares?
Well, I mean, this idiotic 2016. I mean, the idiotic election, though, is just yet another puppet show. The narrative is going to be achieved no matter who's in office. And I don't care. Old crazy old Trump can get in there and talk about whatever he wants to talk about. When he gets in there and the doors close and they show him the Kennedy film from a different angle that none of us have ever seen before.
Right. Yeah. Anyways, that's it for us. Anti-Media Radio. Jason Madd, I'm Tim Gibson.
Yo, here we go through the stereo.